Hi, we're Grace Life, and we'd love to help you discover Jesus' unconditional love and grace for you.
Thank you, Father, that wow, you're so, so good. Thank you, Father, that we can just, at any given time, just experience your tangible love in our lives. Your word promise that you'll never leave us nor forsake us. And thank you, Father, that that's a real truth. Anything else, any other feelings is just a lie from the enemy. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you just, throughout this weekend, Father, and just throughout our lives, as we just dig into your word, Father, your gospel, your truth, Father, we can just be reminded by your Holy Spirit of the truth that you are always there, you are always present. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father. I just really had it on my heart as Peter was sharing and as we were worshiping now. God is all powerful. Amen. And he's given us the authority to cast out demons, to lay hands on the sick, to see them recover. And John 16 that Peter just ministered from, John 16 verse 8, where he was talking about the prince of this world has been judged. What that means for us as Christians is that he's been judged. Whatever sickness is in your body, it's been judged. The schemes of the enemy has been judged by Jesus Christ and his blood. And we thank you, Father, wherever you are standing, wherever you are standing, wherever there's sickness, a chronic sickness, wherever there's pain in your body, wherever there's lack, that is a scheme of the enemy. And God's word, which is the truth, and everything else is a lie. God's word says that the enemy and his schemes have been judged. So we thank you, Father, wherever there's sickness, wherever there's lack in this room, touch your body, wherever there's lack, where there's pain in your body, where there's just a scheme of the enemy, we would just speak life to those areas right now in Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, that you're touching people right now in Jesus' name. You're just bringing restoration to those affected areas in Jesus' name. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you ministering to those areas right now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. We give you all of the glory. Thank you, Father, that people are just going to now even just experience your goodness, experience healing, restoration in Jesus' name right now in those areas. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Let's give God a hand. Come on. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Raise your hand quickly if you experience anything in your body right now. Anything while we were praying right now. Just thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Dad. Thank you, Dad, that your healing restoration, your healing power just continue to work in those bodies, in those affected areas. In Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Dad. Amen. Come on, you can have a seat. Oh. Oh, it's awesome to be here. Such a privilege to just get together as family and sons and daughters, worshiping a loving Father that is so affectionate and so in touch with where you are at in your life, wanting to minister restoration to you in any area, in every area of your life. And it's by coming to the knowledge of the truth, and that's why we're here, just like digging into the Word, which is Jesus became the Word for us. He was the Word made flesh. And if you want to see the heart of God, if you want to see God's heart for your life, go look at Jesus. Go look at His Word. That's the place where we can discern between truth and error when we go to God's Word. There's nowhere else. Whatever any fancy guy up front says, like, I'm quite fancily dressed here, I think. My wife told me I look good. but what I want to say, it's not about the outward expression. It's not about the outward. God looks at the heart. And we find a man's heart through the love and the compassion that he's sharing. And that's what the Word does. The Word is always going to be love and compassion. And like Peter was also ministering, the Holy Spirit is the comforter. There's so much comfort in the Holy Spirit and through God's Scriptures. If you want an answer for business, how to do business, how to deal with people, how to deal with a difficult family member, God's Word is the answer. The Holy Spirit is empowering, is the answer. So I'm going to be sharing a little bit of my experience of the Holy Spirit. And my experience of the Holy Spirit started in 2008. I grew up in a categorize it, religious Christian type of family, where there was talks of God, and there was, for me at least, a desire to walk holy and to be a difference in the world. But it was always stale. It was always an effort and a striving. And I'm sure most of you have experienced that until you came to the knowledge of the true gospel, which is the liberating, empowering message that God and Jesus came to give us. And so in 2008, I was walking into this church with a few of my friends, and I really just experienced something different about the people there. And that evening, for the first time, I kind of realized that I'm missing out on relationship with God. Which is quite scary if you think about it. Like when I was a Christian, like what was I doing then? What was it about then? If it's not about relationship with God. And that evening I was like, God, I don't really know who you are in your heart for me, but I want more of you. I can see light in these people's lives. I can see that there's a difference in their lives, and I want to experience what they're experiencing. And so that evening that happened, and also what happened on that same evening, there was a call to the Holy Spirit and the empowering of the Holy Spirit and to respond to that. And the unfortunate thing was, or let me focus first on the good. The good thing was that there was a draw. There was an earnest draw from me. I was drawing to them. There was something that they had, and I was drawn to that. Like Shane ministered last night, this wells of living water, and the Samaritan woman. Jesus said that I'm going to give you something, and you're not going to thirst again. So Jesus wasn't just enjoying this holiness, this empowering for himself. But it was for, like Shane ministered last night, it was for the world to also experience. And that's the heart of God with the Holy Spirit, for the world to experience him as well. Not just for us to be blessed and to feel good and to have healing and to have victory in our lives, but for us to make a difference wherever we go and whatever person we touch, that their lives will be for the better, not for the worse. Amen. So there was this draw, and that was awesome. And I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit that evening. But there was a lack in the deposit, if I can put it like that. There was a lack in the transferal of explaining what does this mean for you. And we ministered a little bit on that last night. I'm sure you're going to hear more of that from Shane later. But throughout the weekend, if you want more answers, please come and ask, because it's a understanding that brings fruitfulness. It's always going to be understanding. The penny drops and you're like, wow, boom, let's go out, let's change the world. So that unfortunately didn't happen for me that evening. There was that lack of deposit of transferal, and it's the best picture that I could almost explain it at is it's like you've got bank in the money. Nice. I love it. We've got money in the bank, and so what happens is, if you want to write out a check to someone, you have to, obviously, it needs to be authenticated. The check needs to be authenticated. You've got money, first of all, you've got something. So you always need something to give, you always need to have something before you can give something. So that's step one. And then step two, whatever you're transferring, there needs to be authentication behind what you're transferring. There needs to be that signature, if we look at it in that sense. And there was such a lack in that transfer, that check that was trying to be transferred to me. And my heart was eager, I was sincere, and I asked Jesus to baptize me with his Holy Spirit. So I received, because it's just through asking the Father to baptize you with his Holy Spirit, and it's boom, it's yours. Then from there, to experience it, that igniting, and the next steps are vital, because what happened to me for a few months was that empowering was dormant in my belly. It was just like Shane also ministered last night. It was like just like there was this pond, there was this huge dam, or this dam, and there was a source of water, like a waterfall, like flowing into that dam, but there wasn't an outlet. So I didn't have the outlet. And then luckily, a few months later, I got an authentic transfer, and our brother and legend Pastor Shane was the guy who led me into really discovering what does this mean for me to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And I could say from that moment on, just like the lights went on, and my life was never the same again, to say the least. One of the big things that I got ministered unto, apart from the gospel message about Jesus' unconditional love and grace and the free gift that Jesus came to give us, apart from coming to that revelation and being set free from all of the burdens of religion, what else I encountered very much during that time of walking a road with Shane and like growing in the Word and enjoying the blessings of the Holy Spirit was really seeing God as my Father. And I always get hallelujah. I always get a little bit emotional when I think about that, because wow, what is Christianity without God being our Father? It's like it's stupid. It's dead. To be blunt, God really wants to father us, and through the Holy Spirit as well. God wants to father us into what does this mean for us as children, and how He can comfort us, how He can help us be such blessings to our families, to our marriages, in our working environments, and all of that. So that is something that God started revealing to me, His Father heart. And so that was really awesome. And then two scriptures that most of us are familiar with. Firstly, John 3 verse 16 and 17 verse 3, talking about what life eternal is actually about, what Christianity is actually about. It's about this loving relationship with the Father, intimately knowing Him, not just intellectually knowing Him, not just coming to church to get to know Him, but every day of your life wanting to get to know Him more and more and more. Because the more we get to know Him, the more we're going to walk as sons and daughters should. When the enemy came to steal from Adam and Eve in the garden, what happened was our identity was broken. Authority was taken away from us. The blessings, the gifts that was been given to us have been broken, and we come to not know what these gifts are. And then fourthly, purpose was broken and stolen away from us. And Jesus came to restore everything that was lost by the fall of man, which is we've got identity, sons and daughters of a King. We've been given authority to tread on serpents and not to be hurt, to cast out demons, to lay hands on the sick and to see them recover. We've been given a supernatural new identity. Our spirits were dead, and when we received Christ, His Spirit came to make our bodies alive. And when we received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and that's a big thing that also happened to me, a transition, like making this point. And it's a continual thing. It's not, I haven't arrived. Shane hasn't arrived. Peter hasn't arrived. Whatever TV minister you see on TV, they haven't arrived. If they say that they've arrived, then they've in deception and the fall is very close. We haven't arrived. There's a continual growing in understanding what we have and walking out in that. So big penny that drops for me, and with regards to salvation, is really being surrendered to God and His love. And His surrender is not a negative word at all. We're going to look at the definition of that in a few seconds. But surrendering to God in my Christian life, becoming a son, and then to the baptism of the Holy Spirit as well, surrendering to that, giving over to what God wants to do through us. And to us as well. Let's go to John 8, verse 31. We're going to read verse 31 and 32. And Shane also preached up a storm on this a few weeks ago, so you can get that resource at the resource table. I'm just going to touch on this quickly. Then Jesus said to those Jews which believed on Him, "If you continue in My word, then you're My disciples." Emphasis on, if you continue in My word, then you are My disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Continuing in My word, like I said earlier on, Jesus was the word that became flesh. Continuing in My word is not the law. It's continuing in relationship with Jesus Christ. Continuing in His word, His life-giving word, that's sharper than a two-edged sword. It's alive. God's word is alive. It's not just words on paper. It's alive. And when you take it and when you apply faith to what you're reading, you're going to see things happen in your life. Continue in my word, and then also you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. If you come to me, you'll be free. That is what freedom is about. And this conference is all about freedom. And freedom is only found in Jesus Christ. Shane Manis said, I'm referring to you, Shane, getting a lot of credit here, which is awesome. We're co-laboring together, and Jesus is getting all of the glory at the end of the day anyways. Ministering on, if you think you're free by doing whatever you want, saying whatever you want, doing, and just going about wreaking havoc, you're going to be in bondage, and you're going to realize that pretty soon. That's not true freedom. The only true freedom that is eternal, that is life-giving, and is going to be a blessing to other people, is freedom through Christ. 2 Peter 1 verse 3 says, according as His divine power has given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him that has called us unto glory and virtue. So it's again, through the knowledge, through the intimate knowing of who? Jesus Christ. Not the law. Not the knowing of some great author, so-and-so, reading their book. It's through knowing Jesus Christ. You, each one of you personally, there's a call on your life to get to know Jesus. Not just through myself or Peter or Shane up front, giving you the word, ministering to you. There's such an importance in that, the fivefold ministry, equipping the saints for the work of the ministry. But each one of us, God wants you to go to your room and sit with Him. Open up your heart. Open up your eyes. Allow the Holy Spirit to reveal truth to you. Illuminate truth to you. Things that you need ministering in your life. He wants you to do that on your own as well. Go to that quiet place where you can dig into the Word and receive from Him, your loving Father. So as I said, a big penny-dropping moment for me was the surrendering to God's call on my life. And actually, funny story. You're not going to laugh, but funny story. In 2000, and probably, I said, always from a young age, there was this earnest desire to be an honorable person, be a good person, seeking God, but not knowing Him. And then 2008 happened, and things just started changing. But in 2006, when you decide, when I was grade 11, decide, what am I going to do with the rest of my life? Duomini came up. It was one of the things. I want to be a Duomini. And then very soon, I was no, Duomini's are poor. I'm not going to go for that route. I want to be rich. I'm going to go study accounting. And an awesome word from Shane as well last night. I think it was Shane on... the disciples went to buy meat, and how meat is something, it's an expensive thing, it's a luxury for most people, buying proper lamb, hey? How good is a lamb? Yo, there'll be some bitterwash out for sale a little bit later, not lamb, unfortunately. Where was I? So that was good, surrender, 2008 happened. So Duomini, don't want to be poor. And so then what happened after that, so I went to study BCom, but there was continual. So 2008 was first year, and then September 2008, this whole encounter happened with God, realizing I'm missing out big time. Missing out big time. And when I opened up that door and surrendered to just experiencing God and His loving heart for me, it transformed my life. So that happened in 2008. And then, there was this continual call and this prompting, what are you doing? I'm studying BCom, God, but what are you doing? You're not doing what I've called you to do. You're not accepting this call on your life to be a shepherd and a pastor for people. And you don't have to be in full-time ministry to be a shepherd and a pastor. But that was the call on my life. So 2008 went by, 2009, I started engaging more with God, missions and things like this, being more involved in church. Long story short, at the end of 2012, October, I come to a point and I'm sitting at my desk and what's happening? I'm so this discontent, godly discontent. And I started throwing up almost in my head pros and cons. Okay, if I act on this call now, if I answer on this call, then all of these implications, boom, 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 boom. Studied it of like 4 or 5 years, and I want to still get married soon, and like it's not good to get married to study date. It sucks. And then ministry, like long story short, I came to the end of my rope, if I can put it like that. And I said, God, firstly, I'm gonna answer on this call, and wow, you're going to do something miraculous, because like that is who you are. And so the first miraculous thing that happened, it was estimately probably 250,000 rand of study debt that was cleared. The family that this supported me, I came to them, I like, so this has been something coming, and I kind of conveyed that to them every now and then. And then when I sat down with the Wim, which is yes, I love the family. The Wim is about 6 foot, probably 130 kgs, boot Afrikaans Wim, super intimidating if you look at things in the natural sense. I had such confidence and boldness when I spoke to the woman, but such humility as well with regards to, this is the decision I want to make. In the back of my mind, I'm like, God, you're busy doing your work, and you're going to cover this. I don't know how yet, but you're writing this off. But at the same time, I knew I had to, in faith, say, listen, woman, so this was the agreement after the da-da-da. And he stopped me and said, we never expected you to pay back the study debt. And they're still one of my big financial partners as well, which is something I didn't ask them to do after I made a decision, which is another blessing and a miracle. So that was just for free, for whoever wanted to receive that encouragement. So then surrender, and just yielding is another word. Okay, so the definition of the word surrender is stop resisting an opponent and submit to their authority. Okay, so clause here, God is not our opponent. Okay, so just put it in context. Stop resisting God and what he wants to do, and submitting to his authority. And when you start doing that, like, you're never going to lose out. You're never going to regret submitting to God's love and his authority. Never, 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 ever. You're never going to regret that. Synonyms of the word surrender is yielding or submitting. Yielding or submitting. And then an antonym. I haven't said that in a while. Is resist. So either you're yielding to, surrendering to what God wants to do in your life and his power, or you're resisting that. There's only one of two things. You're either submitting to it and what his word says and his promises, or you're resisting that. And we're going to look at a few ways that that happens. First one, Romans 8, verse 6 to 7. It says, for to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. So that's the first thing, to be carnally minded, to be focused on the senses and your feelings and your emotions, having that drive you, is always going to come against what God wants to do through your life. Fear of man is a big one. All of us are fighting that continual fear of man. What are they going to think? What if this doesn't happen? What are they going to say? But what does God's word say about the situation? Are you going to base it on what is man going to say? Your feelings, your emotions, the carnal? Or are you going to base it on what does God's word says? Or what does God's word say? And you've always got that decision to make. And the one is going to lead to death, like unhappiness, strife, unfulfillment. And the other one is going to lead to exactly the opposite. Life, peace, freedom, glory, purpose. Another scripture, Romans 12, verse 1 to 3. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God. So you can already hear this, like, it's a plea. There's a plea. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that is, by testing you may discern what is the will of God, and what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I want to read verse 3 as well. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. So three things that I want to draw out from those scriptures to you guys. The first one from verse 1, presenting your body a living sacrifice. That is that surrendering. That is that yielding. And the funny thing about a sacrifice, a living sacrifice, they always get off of the altar. A daily decision. Boom, okay, the morning is, it's going well. I slept well on the sacrifice. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you. And then you walk in, then you walk into the office, and then you don't want to be a living sacrifice anymore. You see someone with lack, or you see sickness, and you're like, what are they going to think? And it sounds silly, but that's what we're all dealing with on a daily basis. And it's becoming a living sacrifice every day, deciding to surrendering, yielding to the love of God. And it's by receiving that love of God, as 1 John 4 verse 18 says, that perfect love casts out all fear. So it's being perfected by the Father's love. It's that continual, like, seeing His love, digging into His love, being in fellowship amongst believers that are sharing His love, expressing His love, that we are transformed and that all fear fades away. Or at least we have the boldness and confidence to challenge the fear. To walk right up to that fear, to that sickness, and say, go in Jesus' name. That is God's call on our lives, to speak with boldness, with confidence, to command the mountain to move. God didn't say, ask me to move the mountain. He's given you the authority and the power to command to the mountain and see it move from your life. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Then verse 2, it's talking about, do not be conformed to this world. So it's again that thing of, like, it's either God's word and yielding to His power and His authority in your life, or it's yielding to the world, the pattern of this world, which is always going to be mediocre, not a life of impact, changing people's eternities through the gospel, through the power of following the gospel. And then verse 3, which is awesome, I love this. And I'm dealing with this on a daily basis. Who of you have got one mirror in your house? Ah, I knew it. No hands would go up. I'm sure there's more than one. Lovely. I'm sure there's more than one mirror in most homes. At least there's a reflection of you. You're going to see a reflection of yourself every day. I saw some of you forgot to look in the mirror this morning, but it's, God loves you, and it's great to have you here. I'm joking. There's always going to be a mirror and a reflection that we get to see. And so with that thought, verse 3, I say to everyone among you, do not think of himself more highly than he ought to think. So this is coming to that pride, that flesh. Like, God wants you to be confident, to be bold, but not in yourself, in Him. When you're confident in Him, you're going to be the most humble person on the face of the earth. That's what Moses said, Moses wrote about himself. Moses was the most humble person on the face of the earth. It's like me saying, hey guys, like, do you know what? Etienne Willems is the most humble person on the face of this earth. Can I get amen? So that is what Moses said. So it's that thing of, like, humbling yourself, surrendering to God's power and His ability in you, forgetting about what are people going to think, what are people going to say. Like, man, do you want the glory of God to be revealed through you, or do you want to suppress that by fearing man and what are they going to think? We've got that choice. It's the choice that's been given to us, which is awesome. God's not forcing anything on you. this whole conference, this is not about you having to do something now. We want you to see what can be and take it from where you are to where God wants us to be through His Word. John the Baptist also said this about Jesus coming. He must increase, but I must decrease. He must increase, but I must decrease. And I like looking at the picture of baptism, water baptism. When you get baptized and you go underwater, it's that submerging. It's that going under, dying with Christ and being raised with Him in a new life. Being made righteous, being made holy through faith in Him. And it's the same, like I see it the same as with regards to baptism in the Holy Spirit. It's that submerging, that giving over completely and fully, allow Him to fill your whole being, your desires, His desires becoming your desires, God's will to become yours. Psalm 37 verse 4, delight yourself in the Lord and He will give you desires of your heart. It's talking about this, your heart being pliable, formable, like clay, allowing God to form this. And through the Holy Spirit, there's this forming happening. And the more you allow that, the more it's going to shine out forth from you. So it's about that submerging, that yielding and surrendering to what God wants to do through us. True freedom comes on you when you start receiving and walking in everything that Jesus came to restore. Like I shared earlier on, that identity, that authority, that blessings, those gifts. Like Peter shared, these gifts that's been given to us, it's not just for us to enjoy. There's so much more for us to enjoy and for us to share with the world. Like, we shouldn't be keeping all of these gifts and these blessings to ourselves. It's for us there to share to the world. Jesus also came to restore a love relationship with God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It's not just with God the Father. It's not just with Jesus Christ and what He's come to do with us. But it's also with the Holy Spirit and what He wants to do through us. God wants to father us. He sent Jesus to restore a broken relationship, to die for all sickness, all disease, so we can have freedom. And He's given us His Holy Spirit to live the victorious Christian lives, that empowering, not to just go to heaven one day, but to make a difference and hit Satan in his face every day we walked out of the door, conquering the plans and the schemes of the enemy every day that he's trying to come and deceive the broken world, deceive the believers and the unbelievers. He's came to give us the power and authority to set the captives free. We have to cooperate with that. I guess at the end of the day, the question to ask is, can I do without relationship with the Holy Spirit? Why would you want to do relationship without the empowering of the Holy Spirit? Why would you want to? The only answer could be because you don't know and you don't understand what He has for you, what it means to be surrendered to the Holy Spirit. And not just to have the Holy Spirit, but for Him to have you. Like Peter shared as well in John 16, verse 7 to 12, that Jesus left for the purpose for the Holy Spirit to come. I'm sure the disciples loved Jesus and he's being present there with them. But Jesus and God, can I get a witness? They always know better than we do. Amen. Always, always, always. Don't think you sometimes know, you get the ahead of them. No ways. They always know better. And Jesus knew that He needed to leave to send His comfort to the Holy Spirit so that we can be empowered, be surrendered to what He can do through all of us. Let's go to, in closing, I'm getting there. The plane is closing slowly. We're not going to go there. I'm just going to refer to the scripture. The cool thing about Jesus and His ministry in Acts 10 verse 38, you can make the note, even Jesus was anointed with the Holy Spirit and He went about performing miracles, doing signs, wonders, and all of that. Even Jesus Himself showed us what is going to happen, being anointed, empowered, submerged with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And the last scripture is, I'm just going to tell the story from the parable from Luke 11, verse 9 to 13. The overall picture here, what is happening, Jesus telling a parable about a son asking his father for specific things. But before that, actually, Jesus is saying that, and it's been referred to last night through Peter's message, ask and you'll receive. Seek and you'll find. Knock and it shall be opened to you. And the scripture says, everyone that asks receives. Everyone that seeks finds. Everyone that knocks, it will be opened. We are everyone. What is the resemblance between those three words? Ask, seek, knock. It's expectation. You're not going to ask if you don't want something. You're not going to seek if you don't want to find something. You're not going to knock if you don't want the door to be opened. Come on. So it's an expectation. What are you expecting from God? If you're not expecting anything from God and the power of the Holy Spirit, you're not going to receive anything. It's not because He's withholding. It's because you don't want anything. And then the story goes on. The son is asking for bread. He's asking, Jesus is talking about if a son asks for bread, if he asks for fish, if he asks for an egg, what father is going to give him a serpent or a scorpion or a stone? No father is going to do that. And then Jesus goes on and says, if you then being evil, not evil as in you're evil, devil, it's evil in comparison to the father heart of God and how perfect and how all-consuming love that He's got. We fade in comparison to God. So we look evil to compared to God. So He's saying that, if you then being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father give you the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? So it's only about asking. An awesome thing about those three things that Jesus is talking about, it's food, it's nourishment. So your body needs nourishment to be sustained. All of you, I forgot to eat breakfast. I didn't forget. I kind of missed it. I'm super, super excited for lunch. But at the same time, food is not going to sustain me and fulfill my life and my purposes, because I wasn't just made to be a human being in a flesh suit to just live from meal to meal. I was made, and every one of you were made for so much more than just that. And that's why Jesus said, yes, food. Yes, you need that. But how much more do you need the Holy Spirit that is the bread of life? Jesus is the bread of life. His Holy Spirit is that streams of living water. Receive that. Be drenched in that. And the basis of this whole scripture, your Heavenly Father. You need to know that it's your Father that gives you these gifts. God wants to know that. He wants you to know that He is your Father, your loving Father. Experience Him as your loving Father. Experience the Father, experience the Son, and experience the Holy Spirit. Let's stand to our feet. Just close your eyes. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father, that we are so stirred up right now by your word, by your Holy Spirit being in us. And we just wanna overflow with what is inside of us. Thank you, Jesus, that it's not about works. It's not about works. It's not about works. It's about knowing you. It's about knowing your love for us, Father. And from that experiencing your love, Father, from coming to the knowledge of the truth, our empowering that we've got, everything that we can do because of Jesus' death, because of His outpouring of His Holy Spirit, Father, we can make a difference. Where we can live naturally, supernatural lives. Romans 1 verse 16 says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation." Power. Thank you, Father, for your power that is revealed through the gospel, through the work of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father, that we don't need to be ashamed. We don't need to be ashamed. We don't need to be ashamed, fearful of anything, any man in this world. We can live out the supernatural lives that you call us to live as sons and as daughters of the King on high. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father.
We'd love to hear from you. If you'd like to talk to someone, or if you'd like us to pray with you, please contact us on 021-8800-168 or at info@gracelifeministries.co.za. If you'd like to order more resources or find out more about us, you can visit our website at gracelifeministries.co.za. We'd also love to connect with you on Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube.